Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Zach.
I'm Reed.
I'm Annie.
We got our girly on the podcast today, Miss Annie. It's three of us.
Miss Annie.
Now I get that.
That's so crazy. Wait, okay. So where are you on your Drag Race journey? I know, like,
I just started watching season 13.
Season 13. Oh,
that's
like
a good one.
A lot of people don't like that season because it was so long. Because it's like
Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Tina Turner.
That's give it up for your girl Denali. Chicago.
Denali's my Chicago queen. Love her. Down. She's been in my apartment before for a Chromatica ball pregame. I was like,
Shut up, really?
I was like, my friend's like, yeah, I'm bringing my friend Romero. And I was like, okay, whoever Romero is. And it was it was Denali and Boy. I was like, oh, hi.
At Denali and Boy.
We were like talking about what our favorite Chromatica song was. Like, she was like, so I guess he was like, so what's your favorite? And I was like, I think like Alice. And he was like, oh, mine's Replay.
Taste. Replay is the best song on that album.
So honestly, that's a really good, a quick segue, Annie, because our Patreon, y'all, is popping the fuck off. We dropped three, not one, not two, three bonus episodes on our Patreon over the weekend. And the first one was me and Annie going through Annie's Drag Race journey, because Annie has popped her Drag Race cherry. Maybe
I popped it hard.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of Drag Race. We talked about seasons 7 through 10, as well as All Stars 2, 3, and 4. It was a loaded episode. You can subscribe to our Patreon, link in our bio on our socials. $3 a month really helps support the show. And yeah, you get content like that. In addition to, me and Maddie did a recap on the new season of Drag Race, the first two episodes, as well as The Traitors, the first three episodes of The Traitors on Peacock. I am obsessed, you guys. Like, I'm literally teething right now because it's like, oh my God, it's coming out in like 45 minutes.
I know. I'm like, we got to wrap this podcast up.
We have to wrap this shit up.
And I have to say off Twitter because everyone was spoiling it. It was like,
I was spoiling it. I was,
oh yeah, Reed, I saw one of your goddamn tweets. I was pretty fucking pissed at you.
I treated it like a live event. I was tweeting because I was tweeting about Drag Race right before that at my friends. Everyone on gay Twitter tweets about Drag Race in real time. So I just sort of carried that same attitude over when we moved on over to Peacock. And I just started live tweeting The Traitors.
Do you guys want to know something? One of the hardest things I've had to do, like, there's certain reality shows, you know, I'll be telling somebody, oh, you need to watch this. You need to watch The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. You need to watch this such and such reality show. I'll go to like a random person, you know, that I know, one of my friends or whoever, or I meet someone. I'm like, have you ever seen The Traitors? They're like, no, what is that? All right, they send a bunch of people to this castle in Scotland. Floop from Spy Kids hosts it, and he is literally just like Floop. And then you like explain the whole thing, and it is so hard to. You sound like you're on crack. Like, it's like, I'm like, and then there's three traitors, and you have to like,
no,
like,
I literally
try to attack the traitors and get the traitors out, and they do these crazy games, and then there's a betrayal, and it's like, it's so weird to explain. It's like, explain this to
imagine,
a pilgrim.
Imagine explaining it to a pilgrim or a small Victorian child. And I feel like with The Traitors, it's the way Anne-Marie Wiley won't stop talking about Sutton's esophagus. Like, that's me talking about The Traitors. Like, cue like a 4-panel TV screen of me talking to anyone and everyone that will listen about The Traitors. And it's having its moment. I feel like everyone loves season one, right? But not on this scale. I mean, I think Peacock put out today, like, it broke their record. It's like 2 million.
Well, because now we have, it's like the playing field's the same. I feel like it was so weird to have like half pedestrian, half celebrities on it. Because
normals, the muggles, as me and Maddie.
Yeah.
Call
yeah. Because the regular people are like fighting for a check. And the celebrities, like, whether they've been on TV before or haven't, or been on TV recently, or they haven't been on TV in a long time, they still have a little bit like more of like an income stream than some of these like pedestrians who are like literally crying. It was so much more emotional. Remember how emotional it was last season? Like, they're like, you betrayed me. They're like sobbing. It's like,
right.
And Sari is like cutting these people right. left and right. It was like very insane. This time I think it's like interesting and getting a bigger audience because you've got Love Island. You've got literally everyone under the sun. So, you know,
I have like a weird view on that because I'm like, okay, on one hand, of course it's getting a bigger audience because you're right. It has so many more stars. But then I do wonder if it's going to be like as intense at the end because yeah, watching Sari like betray that muggle, like,
yeah,
I mean,
Maddie and I talked about that on the Patreon. Like that player became so close with Sari and confided in her about their gender identity and how they would use the money to like help get gender affirming surgery. And Sari sat there and rubbed their back and comforted them, and then at the last fucking minute pulled the rug out from underneath them. It's honestly some Hunger Games level shit, which we also have an episode about Hunger Games on our Patreon, but it's literally like fucked up that like we watched a celebrity who already has been on TV and made money, like fuck over someone who like really needed it. That's actually.
Yeah. Really-
but it was so hard, but with Sari, because like Sari never won Survivor. So like watching her finally win like a show.
Over a normal person.
I didn't care. I was like, give her the like she needs it. Like I was like, give her that crown.
You know when the lions
maybe
and the Savannah.
Because it's going to be less mean this time. So they're like, maybe that's kind of part of why they did it. Because I just think it's also going to be maybe harder though for them to fool as many people because these people have played reality TV games before.
So yes, we have a Patreon episode about it. I'm not on that episode, so I just really want to give a take really fast.
Yeah, give your take.
Go listen to the episode. I'm obsessed with this season of The Traitors. I think the cast is stellar. Even the people that I saw and I was like, who are you? And I'm talking about the politician. I'm talking about
the old man.
I tackle every time he is on screen. I laugh so hard. Not necessarily because of what he's doing, but because of how the people are responding around him. Like, Tamra arguing with him about the asthma thing. He started breathing really heavy. Him running, his run, like everything just unintentionally funny.
I have not been that concerned about an old man having an aneurysm since the Housewives of Beverly Hills shoved Ken at Villa Rosa backward into the shallow end of the pool. Like when he went face plant, I was like, it was like Villa Rosa all over again. I had PTSD.
That Villa Rosa scene is really scary.
He like nearly shattered his skull.
It's like really scary. That is so funny.
Yeah, and we are going to cover The Traitors every 3 weeks on our Patreon. We're going to cover Drag Race every two. We're going to stay on top of those shows. So definitely go subscribe if you want to hear us get into the nitty gritty details. But we haven't really had a chance to talk about The Traitors on the main podcast because it came out after our episode dropped last week. And guys, it is a Bravo smorgasbord. We've got Phaedra, Larsa, Sheree, Tamra. Someone from Shaws of Sunset that I don't know. And
Mercedes, MJ.
And she's honestly doing great too. And then you got, and it's just, it's so good. They're all making me laugh in their own ways, but Phaedra is fucking taking it.
I want to ask you guys.
Deontay. I feel
for Deontay because I'm just like, you could tell he is just not. He's not he doesn't know how the reality TV thing goes.
I know, but I just want to marry that man.
Say something for the rest of us.
I think Phaedra wants to marry that man too. The way she was like, he is just really hurting right now. She's like, come here, baby. I just
can't with Phaedra going like, you know, I like all these people, but they must die.
When she looks at Sir Alan Cumming, she goes, I'm a killer. The hairs on the back of my neck rose. I was truly afraid.
You know what I think is very interesting about this? And I was talking to my sister about it because she was like, you know, walking around the apartment while I was watching. And I was telling her, I was like, a lot of these people like Dan and Janelle and people who have been on Survivor and things like that, they operate from a game perspective, you know? And so they know how these games work and everything like that. And they're underestimating these housewives and these Bravo lebs who are coming on the show and they're thinking, oh, they just are on the show where it's all about like fighting and glamorous things and glamorous trips. And they don't know how to cut somebody or whatever like that. I go, you, Dan Giesling, listen here, honey, you were playing a game and you knew it was a game and you were looking for the prize at the end. Phaedra and Tamra cut people in real life. It's not even a game to them. They're not even like, it's their lives. Like they're doing
checkers. He's playing checkers and they're playing chess. 3D chess, bitch.
I'm like, babe, I'm sorry. They're not in a house. They're in their real life and they're doing the exact same thing that you're doing on Big Brother for no $500,000 prize. You know, like just like fame and a little, yeah, I guess they're getting money, but still, you know, like I don't underestimate the housewives. And Miss Larsa, she's taking it.
I never would have thought that she was our modern day Sherlock Holmes. And here we are. I think between her, Sutton, Garcelle, and Adriana from Miami, I think they could literally take down any sort of like covert operation. They're just so smart. They're just so genius.
So I do want to pivot because I do want to cover a couple things in our That's My Opinion segment. So let's get into
That's My Opinion.
So what we want to cover, speaking of Tamra, we want to cover that the Real Housewives of Orange County has started filming. Cameras have picked up. Did you guys watch?
We need Andy and Tamra.
Did you guys watch the Watch What Happens Live with Jeff Lewis?
Such an asshole. Damn.
He's such an asshole. Like, yes, he's such an asshole. But Andy also needs to like lighten the fuck up a little bit. Like, he's
so butthurt.
He gets so butthurt about certain things. So like Jeff Lewis made a comment about the Salt Lake City reunion set, how god awful it was.
That was warranted.
Yeah. And so Andy was a little butthurt about that. And then Jeff Lewis goes, Orange County's filming and they asked me to film a lunch. And so I guess I'm filming a lunch apparently. And Andy's like, I don't know, maybe you could have kept that one to yourself. And it was so awkward. And you could tell that Andy was like he was pissed off about it.
I feel like Andy's an asshole secretly.
I think so too.
Not even secretly.
No, I don't think so secretly. Well, I think like,
but just stop having Jeff Lewis on then. He's on all the time. If you're going to be annoyed with him, then like stop having him on. Like that's your, like, you know what you're getting.
Have like a, okay, so there's like this symbiotic relationship between two hater gays that like sort of Andy and Jeff Lewis, like they, it's like the sun needs the moon. I don't think Andy's going to stop having Jeff Lewis on.
Watch, I don't either. Live.
They are just going to,
that's not what I was saying.
They're going to give each other a cunty stare and like a, and a very digging remark. And they're going to have a half smile on their face while they do it. But I actually do find Jeff Lewis's brashness really refreshing. That's obviously why they keep booking him. Like he says some of the wildest things. Like I'm like, holy shit, he is just reading these housewives down.
Well, let me be clear, I don't actually think that he should stop being on. I'm just saying Andy can't get mad when he like knows what he invited there, you know.
It's kind of like I get so irritated when people go on to Watch What Happens Live and don't understand what Watch What Happens Live is. Like this isn't a Barbara Walters interview. This isn't The View. This is Watch What Happens Live. It's supposed to be shady. It's supposed to be cunty.
It's supposed to be live, and it's not all.
No, it's not. Like you remember when they had like Titus Burgess on, and he was like so mad that Andy like asked him a shady question. He's like, Queen, like you know, and he was so irritated, and people were like, yeah, get him, Titus, and I was like. They're like, he was trying to get you, or like same thing with Bethany when Bethany was like, he tries to get you for the sound bit. He tries to get you in trouble. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah, it's the media.
Yes, that's the point. I was like, that
it's
is the
entertainment.
Brand. That's the point.
That's the point,
that's
Yolanda.
The point, Yolanda. You know?
Bethany is the most unforgivable for being like that, but we won't.
Bethany, okay, I want to go into like, I feel like on this podcast, there should just be a segment called Zach's weekly rant about Bethany Frankel. Because I literally almost made like a TikTok on our page ranting about this because she came out with this video about the Salt Lake City reunion and what Jennifer Lawrence said about how you have to watch it. It's like top tier television. The finale was like must see TV. And you know, Bethany gets on and she's like, what these celebrities like Jennifer Lawrence don't understand, and it's like, do you really want to show this to your young girls? Is this really the role model behavior that you want to show? You're feeding the machine, where they're trying to get a sound bit, and it's like, you know, mention it all this, and she lists off all of her taglines, all of her stuff, and the thing with Bethany Frankel, she comes out with this whole video, and I'm like, you're missing Bethany, you're still like a product of the Real Housewives. Like, I don't understand how she doesn't even realize that she's still a product. Like, what she's doing in her rants that she thinks is like this reality reckoning and this wokeness, and what she's trying to, she thinks she's like fighting the system when in fact she is literally still participating in the system.
Yeah.
Like, actively participating in the system. She's acting like a shady real. She's throwing shade. She's tearing down other women in these. I'm like, Bethany, you're talking about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City tearing women down, and is this a good role model, when not nearly a month ago, you just unprovoked went on TikTok and made a dig at Kim Kardashian's Christmas decor. You're still doing it.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new season of Black Mirror on Netflix? I think it's like the first episode. They're watching a show on a Netflix, like a similar thing to Netflix.
Joan is awful.
And like, yeah, Joan is awful. And who's playing her in the Netflix version? And then
the girl from Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, and then she finds her, and then it's like a Russian doll. Then that person finds out they're playing someone. Or they're being played, but it's like, it just like constantly goes, that's literally what's happened to Bethany Frankel. Like, she has walked out of one simulation, but like, she's in a Russian doll simulation. She thinks she's gotten out of it. She's actually just one layer closer to the surface, and she's still doing all the same shit.
Yeah.
It's infuriating to watch. Like, I'm like, you're still doing it. Like, what is not clicking?
If she would let the mouse go.
You don't have to pick up the phone and record like your reaction. Like, you actually don't have to do it. You've
got food in your teeth. It's actually assault to my eyes.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about Bravo, and that's why people are even tuning in, because they care about your relation to Bravo. You don't get that yet, bitch. Like,
you can't talk about anything else, because nothing else that she's tried to do outside of Bravo
has baked potatoes with cottage cheese on them. That's what she likes to talk about, other than Bravo.
It's sick. It's sick.
to quote Luann, when she saw her in the skinny girl convertible, you drive around town on that thing?
Wait, speaking of Luann, wait, remember when Luann on her stage was like, go to bed, go to bed? She got the quote wrong.
she doesn't give a fuck, and she probably did it on purpose because she fucking hates Bethany so much.
She hates Bethany so much. Another thing, I want to circle back to the Real Housewives of Orange County, but so since cameras have picked up, you have another housewife talking about Orange County in the press. A lot of us are talking about Orange County and what's going on in the press with Alexis Bellino, John Jansen, the Trace Amigas, everything. We've got a lot of preseason feuds
drama,
especially because Tamara's doing like press for the Traitors. So she's like kind of lightly talking about what's going on in Orange County and kind of tiptoeing around. She doesn't want to get too much into it. Megan King Edmonds was just asked about stuff, and I don't know if you guys saw this on Alexis's story, but she shared text messages between Megan and herself, because Megan brought up Alexis and what she thought about the relationship with John Jansen. I didn't look into like what she thought. I don't think it was good. I don't think based on Alexis's response, I don't think whatever Megan King Edmonds said was good. But Alexis's Instagram story really made me cackle, where she talked about she posted a screenshot of an article from E! News saying this former RHOC star says she tried to rejoin the cast for season 16, but was rejected. And so it's talking about like how Megan King Edmonds like tried to like join Orange County, but was rejected. And Alexis goes, sharing our private text with the world may be the lowest point yet in your pursuit of fame. Find a different friend to use. Megan O'Toole, King, McDill, Edmonds, Biden, Owens.
Why did she put all those names in there?
Because she has all those names.
She's like Monica Fowler, Garcia, Darnell.
Listen.
I don't know your fucking name. You change it every fucking day.
Literally me changing my a new email for a free trial on Hulu. Every other week.
But it's very interesting to see all of this like press and all this. It's kind of like Orange County really is in that renaissance. It's like we're getting that
new what
drama. And this makes me think that Alexis did sign on the dotted line.
She did.
And I think she is.
Yeah.
I think she did. I think that's been confirmed at this point. Finally.
A lot of the bloggers have been posting like what they think the cast is. And it looks like there are some new faces as well. So I'm really excited to see what comes as a newbie OC fan. And while I don't have the OC knowledge under my belt just yet, it does seem like OC is kind of doing it right, where they've slowly reintroduced some quote unquote OGs, like one or two at a time. So, you know, we got Heather Dubrow a couple seasons ago. Tamra made her return this last season. Vicky kind of had a foot in a little bit, a foot out. But now Alexis Bellino and then Megan King Edmonds, it feels like they are just slowly reintroducing like what made OC, what people remember it to be, maybe.
But you know why it's working too, is because some of these women who were newer, who were part of the newer cast, have relationships with some of those older vets. Like Emily Simpson is good friends with Alexis Bellino. It makes sense for Alexis Bellino to join this cast.
Well, and they're young. And I've talked about this a lot. I think that like, just for longevity purposes, like it makes sense to bring back people that like are still around the age of the newer wives that are coming in or might come in. And like, it just makes sense as opposed to like bringing back Ramona if into like a new Roni, for instance, which would be horrible. I'm just saying like age wise, like it just kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Speaking of OGs, there's a new show that is coming to Bravo in the spring that is featuring some OGs from a certain Bravo franchise, and that is Vanderpump Rules. So we just got our first teaser for The Valley, which is starring Jax Taylor, Brittany Cartwright, Kristen Doty, and all of their friends in their neighborhood. And to quote what Bravo said, it is a new look at a friend group who is taking on adulting.
And Jax is like pushing 50 in a tricycle and talking about taking.
I'm like, you say you're taking on adulting when you're like 25, 26. Okay.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like when Vanderpump was at its prime was like when we all used words like adulting.
Yes. You
know? Like, yeah. this is like a 2014 ass show, yeah. You know, like this is a Tumblr ass, keep calm and carry on ass show. Yes. I just want to know where Sathy is, because if Kristen can come back, what's the deal?
I've said this before and I'll say it again. I love Stassi down. Love her down. Obsessed with her. I think that she is perfect reality television. I have a little Stassi in me. My brother and I are rewatching. We're watching Vanderpump. I'm rewatching it. He's watching Vanderpump for the first time. And he literally will look at me every time Stassi makes like a crazy like statement or something like that. He'll be like, "This is triggering because it's reminding me of you."
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh, damn. Okay.
You probably were influenced by Vanderpump, and then you talk to your brother that way.
No, I think it's like from like far in our childhood. Oh.
The original Stassi.
But I love like, Stassi.
No, Stassi was influenced by me. Thank
Stassi
you.
Stassi was influenced by me.
Did you ever say I am Stassi. The devil and don't you forget it?
All the time.
Yes.
All the time.
Every Friday night at dinner.
All the time. Anyways, I love Stassi down. But I love her life now, and I think she is so happy. Like, her and Beau and, like, their kids. Like, I really just want her to have, like, that little good life. And I just don't think, like, reality TV is, like, conducive to, like, the life that she wants to live right now.
She has said that she would come back to reality TV in a different sort of format. I think that she was hinting at being, like, I might be a Real Housewife or something. But I
was
think that
just about to say that.
Yeah.
But what if she did that? That would be
yeah,
so
I think that
like she, 10 years yeah. later.
I think she's kind of hinted like that's kind of what she's saying. Like she's like, I would be in reality TV again, but just like not that setting. Like she's like, I've just outgrown that setting for sure. And like, I'm just never going back there. And I just think that she's not in her Adderall vodka shots days anymore. And she doesn't want to go back there. And like, it just wouldn't be the same of what we were wanting. So it just, you know, but she has said that she would just, I'm sure they asked her honestly, but she just wouldn't go back.
Hmm. No, why would you? Yeah. I mean, and with Jax and Kristen and listen, I love it. I'm a Dodianator. I'm sorry. I gotta be honest.
Let me think of a better stand name.
I love Kristen Doty, but I will tune in to see. I have no idea what to expect from the show.
Nothing.
I'm worried like, that you know, it's gonna I'm worried it's gonna be like Real Girlfriends in Paris. Like we're never gonna hear
either,
from it again.
No, it's either going to be the worst show Bravo has ever put out, or it's going to be amazing. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be camp and amazing. There's like literally no in between. There's no in between. There's no like, this is an okay show. It's either going to be god awful or it's going to be god awful in the best way.
Can I say something? I don't even remember seeing Brittany in the teaser.
She goes, she Jax, was. Mow the lawn right now.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Hold on. And he goes, okay, honey. And he's like wearing those like serial first of killer all, gloves. Yeah.
Okay, guys, I love the show on Showtime, Dexter, you know, the killer. And he like fucking puts on those leather ass gloves before he chops somebody up. And it's a close up on Jax and it's like the latex snaps. And I'm like, why is he wearing latex gloves in suburbia? This is giving me like, who's he about to strangle? Who's he about to dismember? What if that's what it's about? And I thought
that would be great. I would love that. I would tune in for that.
The rumors and the nastiness were that this show was called Vanderpump Valley. So I've been looking forward to another show with the name Vanderpump in it. And it looks like that is maybe that was like the code name. It clearly does not share the Vanderpump title.
It was going to be that. So after they tried to do that departure where they had those younger people come in, remind me their names. Oh my gosh. Dana.
Brett or something.
Yeah. When they were doing that, their plan was originally to have a break off where it was called Vanderpump Valley. And it was all about the ones that got married and had kids. And they were going to have the younger kids like take over, like Raquel and everyone else be like the new blood of Vanderpump Rules, and then have Vanderpump Valley be basically Stassi growing up and Kristen and all of them getting houses and stuff like that. And I think Katie and Tom and all that kind of stuff. But then because then COVID happened and because that other season was a flop and it just didn't happen. So it was going to be
It reminds me of like the Laguna Beach to the Hills pipeline. Like they were trying to launch these.
Well, the Hills was amazing. So
they were trying to launch. Like, Stassi was what's her name from Laguna Beach?
Lauren Conrad.
I was Kristen Cavallari-nator.
Oh, Kristen Cavallari. We had the same birthday.
Oh, all right. Oh, that was my sisters. Original reality TV crush was Laguna Beach. Wasn't it all of ours? I'm not very excited for this, but I guess we'll see. And then I don't think anyone here watches Summer House, do we? Because that also came out, the trailer.
I actually, if you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, you know that I have tried to get into Summer House numerous times and I just like can't get into it. I think I am going to tune into this season because this season does look like, to me, it looks like a Bravo show. Like, to me, it looks like a real Bravo show. Based on the trailer, I understand that other people love Summer House I'm not going to yuck anyone's yum, Maddie. I just think that it's like a poorly done version of Bravo's like Jersey Shore. Like, I just don't think it's as good.
Well, we've talked about how
like, you can't just always shove like eight people in a house and like get magic from that. To me, I don't know.
And I remember it premiered within a Vanderpump episode, just the way a Vanderpump episode premiered in a Beverly Hills episode. And I remember being like, why are Stassi and Kristen in New York? And why are they going with these weird people upstate? Are they going to get murdered? I'm always thinking about who's going to get dismembered on the Vanderpump Rules cast, clearly. But I just couldn't get into it. And I know Maddie always says, don't watch seasons one and two. It was a flop. Start with three. And allegedly, that is where it started really cooking. But I've also never been able to really get into it.
But well, Reed also physically can't do that either. If you know Reed.
What?
There's no way in hell that Reed could just skip seasons one and two and start with three. Yeah. That's just not in like the coding of Reed Chandler.
It's not in my coding. It's not in my
alarm. I was going to say, now that we know that Gypsy Rose Blanchard is related to Stassi Schroeder, we might finally get a true crime Vanderpump crossover that you've always wanted, Reed.
Oh my God. The staircase.
That is such a good point.
The staircase featuring Monica Garcia at Angie K's house. Oh my God.
That's an actual documentary, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. And a movie, because he literally movie, pushed his wife down the staircase and killed her and then covered it up. And I think that's what Angie K tried to do to Monica.
Oh, spoiler alert.
I think that's exactly what Angie K did to Monica. She watched the staircase on Netflix and she came up with a plan.
Well, I think that is a great segue to end.
That's my opinion!
By the way, I was going to say the K in Angie K stands for kill.
I can't. Let's get into the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
You look gorgeous. Look at this emerald green. Stunning. Oh my gosh. Hi.
You look so stunning.
How are you?
Come in. Sit down. Have you been watching at all?
No.
Oh man. It's a bloodbath. Heather and Lisa and Angie are relentless with me.
And they feel like you did them wrong?
Yes.
So they're like done with you?
Correct.
Without you saying why or explaining anything?
I have not explained my situation.
No. Okay, so that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a side. You have a voice. And we're going to hear it. And yeah, I got your back.
I think that we can all agree that the biggest bombshell to come out of this part of the reunion was that finding out that Monica's mom's biggest dream in life was to be on TV, you know?
Maybe that's the episode title. Lord, if it's not Monica, let it be me. I think that would be in quotes. I think that would be really good.
Guys, I'm not exaggerating. That is one of my favorite things I've ever seen. Yeah. Like, I just like the delivery of it. I just was, you know, in awe. Like, and we went home and I was like, I really bombed this interview. I don't think I did good. And, you know, she said, let's pray. Let's say a prayer. She said, Lord, if it's not Monica, let it be me.
I did my final interview.
Yep.
The first place I went was to my mom's. And I just laid on her couch and cried. And I was like, I totally effed up. Like, I totally bombed it. I don't feel like I was myself. Like, da-da-da-da-da. And my mom said, let's say a prayer. And then she prayed that she would get it instead. She literally said, Lord, if it's not Monica, let it be me. Oh, somehow just let it be me instead.
No one was surprised. Like, we were all like, yeah, that's so
yeah, obvious. No shit.
that like, sounds like LD Millionaire.
Like, I'm sorry. Monica also has a way of, she also has like a speech pattern, just as like I addressed Angie K's like cadence and speech pattern. Mm-hmm. Monica has a speech pattern when she's trying to gain sympathy from somebody. Mm-hmm. Have you guys noticed that? She has like a cadence. She changes like her tone and she goes, yeah, and it was hard. And I don't think I'd want to see my dad again, but I'd want to know what he looked like.
Yeah.
That, you know, like the way that she does it and you can tell it's like, it kind of works on some people. Like Whitney was like, yeah.
Yeah.
If
anything, Reed's going to agree with me here. And
yeah.
I think Annie will too. When we first finished the Salt Lake finale, it was like, where do we go from here? How does Monica like stay with this cast? It looked like they fired her on site, as Maddie said. It's game over for Monica, Garcia, Darnell, Delgado, Fowler, right? Fowler. You know, it should be. But she's kind of like such a master manipulator. I think that she can manipulate her way back onto this cast. I think there's a way.
If there's a will, there's a way. And we know the will is there. We've seen it. And it's cold-blooded will. It's sheer determination. I love her to death, and she has a way of making me like really feel for her. And obviously I'm a Monica hunt, so I want to like stand by her no matter what. And I really enjoy playing that up on Twitter, you know, being like, we have to defend victims, but obviously I'm not that stupid. I see it, right? Jeff Lewis said it perfectly on Watch What Happens Live. He's like, oh, I don't believe a word that comes out of that woman's mouth. And everyone in the crowd laughed, and he goes, or at the very least, it's all heavy exaggeration. And I thought about it and I was like, that honestly is probably the perfect way to put it. She's probably not everything that she says is a lie, but I can't help but wonder if it's all highly exaggerated. Like, as much as I want to believe her mom said that prayer, there is like room to believe that maybe it didn't go down that way.
No, that's the only case where I do think that she's telling the truth. When she's talking,
because that's where she came.
Anything else, like if she's talking about anything else, I think she's lying. But when she's talking about her mother, if it's not outlandish, I think she's lying and covering up for her mom. If anything, I don't think that she's like, if it sounds so outrageous, I'm like, her mom said that 100%.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I do believe that her mom said those things, but I have said this before, but I believe that they're a little bit more in cahoots than what she's saying. I think that like her mom is okay with her saying all these things. Like, I think that like, even Heather was like, then why would you film with her? Like if she said all these things, like, why would you give her that satisfaction? And like, she's, then that's where I start to lose Monica a little bit, where she's like, well, like she's manipulating me. I just feel like Monica is okay with, I don't know. I think that her mom is okay with like being talked shit about, because I think that her, she's like, I'm so happy that I'm on TV being talked about. So does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I also, but I almost feel like it's less contrived than maybe you think it is. I almost think it might be like, I almost think it might be like an unconscious symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
No, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they feed off each other and
yeah,
they hate each other, but they love each other. They're probably going to look out for one another at the end of the day. I mean, even after last week's first episode of the reunion, LD Millionaire was all over Twitter going after Angie K and Lisa Barlow. I was like, I thought you hated Monica. I thought you were on their side. I think she and Monica still obviously are beefing, but in addition to them beefing, she's beefing on behalf of her daughter with these other ladies. Like, there is this weird, complex relationship between them. And I think you're right, Zach. Maybe a lot of things out of Monica's mouth are an exaggeration, if not a lie. Let's be real. But I think all the stories about her mom must be true, because she came from something. And that something is Linda Darnell.
And also I want to bring up, like, I can't help but notice when I'm watching Salt Lake, the comparisons that aren't being like made outright, but like from like fictional television or fictional movies. Like, you know, we obviously have the Gossip Girl reference. We obviously have the Pretty Little Liars, Big Little Lies references here that are like not even being like forced. With Monica and her mom, it's kind of a relationship that you see in different works of fiction. Like, I don't know if you guys ever watched Scandal. Like, it kind of reminds me of like Olivia Pope and her dad. Like, they hated each other. Like, her dad is like evil as fuck, you know, but they still like,
and her mom,
yeah, like, I mean, it's just kind of like, it's like, yeah, you still have an like allegiance to your parent, even if they are like the most evil person on like the planet, you know. And at the end of the day, you're gonna work with the devil you know over the devil you don't.
Yeah, okay, for sure. I think she has obviously always had a more alliance to her mother than any of these ladies, like no matter what happened, you know. And I think that they both kind of they enjoy the fighting. They enjoy the abuse. I think they like relish in it a little bit. You know, when you, even if like in a toxic relationship, whether it be your spouse or whoever, like when you just keep on coming back because you almost like enjoy the abuse, like you live for it, you feed off of it. That's how I feel with them. I also just have to say, they showed a flashback and I'm still not quite over watching someone say dead ass to their mom.
Annie, that is in my notes. Wait.
Dead ass.
Annie, no. Annie,
cut the cameras.
I'm dead ass. I'm cackling that you said that, because like we have like, yeah, we have the whole like Monica and her mom like arguing and stuff. Yeah. And I was just like cackling at it, being like, okay, this is like so weird when like, especially if you watch it on Peacock because it's uncensored. I mean, obviously like the dead ass wasn't censored on Prime TV, but like I was writing down because I was like reliving these scenes uncensored is so good. And it was like the scene with, at the lunch, at the brunch, and her mom goes, did you call me a motherfucker? Did you call me a motherfucker? She's like, you can find your own ride home. Dead ass.
Dead ass.
And I was like, that is so funny. Like, season 4 is so funny. Like, the other scene that I just love is when they're talking about Monica's, like, names.
Yeah.
And it's like Fowler, Garcia, Darnell. Where did Darnell come from? Where did Delgado come from? We're learning about the lore of Monica.
Monica
and
lore.
The Darnell thing is the funniest. By far,
because it's not Latina.
it's just so funny. But Monica's like explaining this and it flashes back to that scene of like her and her mom, like when at that dinner, and her mom was just like, she's like, Monica Darnell, she's like, why are you saying that, why are you calling me that? She's like, well, I don't know your fucking name, you change it every fucking week. And
Monica Darnell,
that's not, why are you calling me that?
I'm sorry, I don't know what the fuck your name is, you change it every fucking week.
It's like
when she
it's
said,
so scary.
When that episode actually aired, I thought she was calling her by her first and middle name. And I was like, she just doesn't like her middle name being Darnell. I'm like, why would you name a baby girl? Why would you give her the name Darnell as her middle name? Now we know it was your fucking last name. Like, Monica's like, why are you calling me that? It's your fucking name.
Well, can I ask you guys, did anyone else follow like the reasoning for her having those different names though? Because I got some of them, but some of them I missed. I didn't get
so,
all.
So one is like
her, all four.
One is like her dad's last name. One is her mom's last name. One is the mom's last name that she changed because her mom didn't want to identify as a Latina. And then one is from another marriage or something like that.
So one is from Monica's marriage. One is from her biological father. One is from her mother's maiden name. And then the fourth one is what?
Darnell is the one that she changed so that she wouldn't sound Latina.
Well, she
right?
said to Andy, she said, my mother was born Linda Darnell Susan Maria Garcia. When she was growing up, she was teased for being a Portuguese in Boston, and she was called a slur all the time, and it stuck with her. So she cut it off at Linda Darnell. And I think Monica was named after her mom. So it's like her mom is Linda Darnell, Susan Maria Garcia. So Monica would have been Monica Darnell. I think Fowler, I think you're right, Zach, was her dad or one of these comes from her husband, I think. She said when she got divorced, she said, I've only used three legal names in my life. Darnell growing up, Fowler when I was married, and when I got divorced, I didn't want to go back to Darnell. I went to Garcia, which was my father's name. So I think that's where that all comes from, or her mom's original name.
Okay, three legal names, and I'm like, what does that mean? What's the fourth? What's the fourth one?
Guys,
the illegal name.
Guys, this woman is so Danielle Staub coded. It is.
She
not
is.
Even funny.
Oh my god!
Like it is not even funny. Like the Beverly of it all. The Beverly of it all. Like top without a badge. Like it is just so like so many. Like this woman has lived a thousand lives. Like. I'm sorry. I do not want her off my TV. I don't want her off my TV. As much as I don't think I disagree with people saying that the season would be nothing without Monica. I think the cast is great. Like I love all these women. I think they're all chaos energy, and I think there's a bunch of other crazies.
She was like the spice, though. Without
her, she was the spice. And this is what I have to say because there's certain Bravo accounts that were like, "Oh, this the finale got 2 million views." Everyone thank Heather. And I'm like, thank Monica. And I'm like, listen, as much as I can respect Heather and I have become a Heather fan after that finale, like I've said this again and I've said this before. Star Wars is nothing without Darth Vader. Harry Potter is nothing without Voldemort. Like they would have nothing. Like Heather would not have the Heather would not have the monologue without Monica. Like that's the thing. You have to have the villain. You have to have the villain. I'll go blue in the face if I talk about this again.
What I don't understand is, you know, there's a lot of vitriol on the internet about not only Monica, but people who are enjoying her. I feel like I have seen so many people say it's actually really disturbing how many of you are standing her right now and you need to look inward. This is super fucking weird. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, you know what's super fucking weird to me? How bothered you are by this TV show, essentially, because you're acting like she murdered somebody. You're acting like she abused elders by credit card scamming them and belongs behind bars. Oh, wait. That's who she fucking took down with her justice. My thing is, yeah, she did some stalkery things. And I'm definitely like two things can be true at once. Like she can be a fucking stalker and fucking crazy. And she can also not be a murderer. Like, why are we acting like?
I know. It's really crazy. It's
and
really
why
crazy.
Why am I being crucified like Jesus of Nazareth?
You did nothing wrong. And
for
you did
enjoying
nothing wrong.
My TV show. Okay. Yeah. Like,
no, I, you're totally so right. And also, too, like, wake the fuck up, Bravo viewers. Like, when have we been watching like Saints on this fucking, you know, channel before? This is about trashy people, not trashy, that's the wrong word. This is about people that like are willing to do some bullshit to get a buck and be on TV. That's what we're watching, what's what we kind of have always been watching. And I also feel like she, if she wasn't there, just be fucking for real for a minute. Like, what would this season look like?
It would be completely different.
Yeah.
I did see a think piece from Brian Moylan. I really enjoy his stuff. And he talked about how much the title, it was on Vulture, and the title was Monica was the greatest thing to happen to to reality TV this year. She must go. And it was this really good piece about how like two things can be true at once. He really fucking loves her and he thinks that the one season is enough. And while I would like to see her for I think a two season story arc would be really good for Monica so we can get some fallout. And maybe like if she has a friend or a Mary, dare say, next season in her corner, that could be really interesting. But I can put myself in the shoes of those people and I can understand why you would just want it to be one and done. Like a great villain, no shade, but best to be contained to this season.
Yeah. Like they die at the end a lot, you know?
Like yeah. Like she, like, yeah, like bring back villains dying at the end of movies. I feel like so often in my Marvel movies, even right now, they don't die. It's like, let's just save them for later for the next Avengers movies. They can come back. No, let's kill them off.
I hear you and I see you. And I think, yeah, maybe let the audience think that she's dead. But then at the end, do one of those things where it's like, you know, there's a little bit of slime left from the villain. And it crawls away. And you know that the villain's not really dead. They're going to come back later. So, like, leave the door open for her to come back in, like, a season 7. You know, like, leave the door open for a lunch. And I think Mary is trying to make that happen.
Well, I think like the interesting thing though is that like with Monica, okay, even with Jen, like I'm with you guys, like she taking down Jen is like a very valid point. Like what Jen did was worse just in real life. But like even Jen, after everything she did, somehow still maintained some relationships with these women and still had friendships. I don't know why, I don't know how, but it was true. And I think that if you're bringing in Monica's friends, it's going to look a lot different. Well,
Monica's best friends with Dan. Monica's best friends with Dana, and she was already on the show.
Oh, true.
They were on Instagram Live together during the finale. So
that's a great point. Dana could come back
as a friend of, and they could do scenes together where they go to lunch and talk about how the ladies are treating Monica, like icing her out. You could have Mary back in some capacity, who could be Monica's champion when they do group scenes, even though the ladies don't want to film with her. It'd be very similar to what we're seeing on the Vanderpump trailer where James Kennedy's like, all right, here's the line in the sand at the beach. But what I was going to say is Zach, to your point about like the sludge being left over, like the teaser at the very end of the movie. Okay. So this is what I'm envisioning. The camera pans to a beauty lab and laser. There's a secretary at the computer. Heather Gaye's like doing her financial. She's like, all right, closing up for the night. Anything else that you need before I leave? And the secretary's like, actually, can you take a look at this customer profile? I've never seen them before, and the credit card number's not going through. Heather's like, She like shifts her like glasses. Suddenly Heather has glasses in this scenario. She goes, She looks in at the computer and it says, Monica, insert new last name here. And it's like, dun, dun, dun.
I like the little cliffhanger. I do like the little cliffhanger.
She's like, oh no.
But here's the thing, and this is where I do think that there is like possibly a way. I think there's a way. I know a lot of people are being like, there's no way these women can like film with her again.
I think there's a way. I just described it.
I think there's a way too. They're like, I didn't think that like anyone would want to film with like Kristen Doty after she slept with Jax. You know, I didn't think anyone would want to like film with Jax after he like cheated on Britney like that. You know, like now they're married and got a kid. You know, it's like
Ariana and Tom are still living together or were when they filmed the season.
They were. Yeah. You know? And so I think that's a little bit of a different scenario because I think that Ariana is truly like a person that would be like stand on business and be like, I'm not going to film even for the sake of the show. I don't care if the show goes down. I'm not going to film with this person. I think that all the women are thinking about the show. I think that a lot of the women are thinking about the show because the way they responded to Mary, during the Mary segment, and they were like, yeah, you like, they fight with her, but even when Mary was like, you guys needed me back, and they're like, do you agree with that? And they're like, yeah, she brought comic relief. She's like, yeah, like, yeah, even after every shit that they've said, like Mary has said about them, I think that they do think about the show a little bit. I think they'll pretend to put up like a little bit of a front, but I think that there is like a way back. I don't think we're so far gone.
That's all valid. You're probably right. That being said, Mary is never going to be the way back in to this group because she's not even a part of this group. She hates them all so much. She hates them more than Monica hates them. And like, it's just, she is comedic relief. She's just that. So I don't know that like she's going to be like the one like filming these like meaningful one-on-one scenes. I think Reed bringing up Dana is what really got me thinking. That's a better kind of in of like someone who like actually might know these ladies and hang out with them.
And like Whitney seems like she's willing to forgive Monica. Like we said, we think who's gonna fall for Monica first. It seems like Whitney's the one falling for it the most. There's ways for Monica to wedge herself back in, and we just you know, it's
another scenario is honestly like I think we're underestimating the friendship between Miriam Cosby and Meredith Marks.
It's honestly a pillar in the community.
It is. It's very interesting to watch. And I think that like even the slightest, like I understand your point, Annie. And like I think that you're also right, like that Mary can't be the sole reason. But Monica is the type of person that if she'll take an inch, like if she's given a little bit, she'll make it work and she'll spin straw into damn gold. She's the Rumpelstiltskin of reality.
You give her a Mary and I think she'll take the Cosby.
She'll take the Cosby and then she'll take the Meredith. And it'll just be like a train. And that's like her way to get into it. It's like Mary invites her to a group event at Meredith's. And then she gets Meredith back on in it. And then Meredith gets these people back in. And then it's like a whole thing. And then she's back in the cast.
That's what I was going to say is like, yes, Annie, you're right that these like Mary hates these women. And she's not like on its face the best way back in the group. But from a show perspective, she is the best way back in on the show. Because honestly, I think Mary Cosby and Jen Shah were the two main characters when this show came on the scene. Like, they were the ones that had the most memes. Obviously, they were the ones that started a feud in the first episode. And She Smelled Like Hospital became an iconic line for the rest of history.
Yeah.
I feel like with Jen Shah behind bars, even though, yes, I'm not discounting the core four, they have done so much for the show. But even just the way they will not fight with Mary. They're scared of her, or they don't want to go too low with her. I don't know what it is, but she comes out there on the set in this episode and it's like they're all shaking and she's like, Angie, why are you even talking? You weren't even here. And it's just like Mary Kate, they kiss the ring, whether they like her or not, they kiss the ring. And if she brought Monica to an event next season, or if she was just in the room with Monica when they did a group scene, it would give Monica more agency or power, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I think that Mary is the most memeable, and you're right. They are weirdly accepting of Mary coming back into the fold. But my point is, Mary doesn't like ever barely film with them. Even when they're on a group trip, she's in the Sprinter van eating McDonald's. Like, so I don't even like what are they going to film? They're going to film them eating McDonald's in the Sprinter van together. That's what we're going to be filming. Mm-hmm. Like, that's right. That's kind of my point.
But it's like, no, but like my point is like Monica will take that one little scene and be like, invite Meredith. And then she'll spin her web when she meets Meredith and she'll get Meredith. And then Meredith will bring Monica back into like the fold. You know what I'm saying?
It's like
she's going to grab onto whatever little like.
Yeah.
Because because we have the Mother Mary of it all this episode. I was so entertained. Like the moment Mary came out, also let's talk about how good she looked. I thought like the hair.
She did look really good.
The straight hair. I thought she looked really good. And she just comes out there and is like, they need to let Monica say her piece. Like everyone has a side of their story. They're not letting her talk. It's not fair. She was honestly coming out there and they all kind of had their tail between their legs. They were all kind of like, okay. I mean, I really do think Mary doesn't have to even be a full part of a scene. She just can bring Monica to a scene and she can just make a comment. As long as she's, even if she's 50 yards away in the Sprinter van, if she's within eyesight, they might be a little nicer to Monica because they don't want to piss Mary off. That's what I'm saying. So yeah, fair. I just think there are ways. Yeah. There are ways.
I would like to believe in that world.
So let's talk about the Mary segment because.
Yes.
let's talk about the Mary segment. I have never heard a woman be so loud and so wrong, but so entertaining. I love Mary for Salt Lake City. Like I do. Like it's like I think that she's like funny and everything. I will never understand people on the internet who like justify the point that she's trying to make. I'm like, I was like, no, it doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. She doesn't understand what she's talking about. What makes it. And do I want her fired? No, because it's so batshit. It's like so hilarious to like watch. But like her going out and calling Whitney a racist based on her
past religion.
And then saying, I don't have a problem with that past religion at all. I actually love Mormons. I have a problem with Whitney when Whitney's never done anything. Like, it's truly is like makes no sense. It's bonkers.
And I just thought it was so fucking funny when she goes, I didn't tweet anything bad about you. I just said you were a racist.
I know. Like, I'm like, okay.
The way that she, when Andy's like, who do you like here? And she's like, Angie, after Angie complimented her. So first of all, hold on, back it up. Because they're all like, Andy's like, so what do you guys think of having Mary back on the show this season? They're all like, ah. Angie K's like, yeah, pretty good comic relief. Mary goes, Angie, why are you talking? This is your first season. Be quiet. What did she say?
Yeah, like she like shuts her up, and then Andy's like, she's giving you a compliment. And she's like, oh, well, thank you.
Well,
thank you. Like, it's, and I'm like, you're just crazy. You are crazy.
It was so cute because when she said it, the way that Angie K looks at Lisa Barlow, it is just like, oops. Like, they aren't even taking her seriously. I think that's the thing. I think they treat Mary with kid gloves because I think it's clear Mary is not living in the same world we're all living in, if that's a nice way to put it. And I think they all are very aware of that. It's kind of like when Sonia said to the Roni women on Scary Island, guys, now we're just being mean. She's ill and we need to stop. I feel like that is how these women treat Mary. They're like, she's mentally ill and we don't need to. That's why when she called Whitney a racist, Whitney was just like, wow. like there's nothing else to say.
And Whitney was like, let me make sure. Like, have I ever said anything to you that's racist? Have I ever done anything? And she was like, no, you haven't. She's like, okay, I just wanted to like make sure.
And Whitney at multiple times in that combo said, okay, that's fair. Okay, that's a good point. Like, I mean, as she should, I mean, but she really was like, okay, fair. Like,
all right, like, whatever.
They're not gonna go there with her.
She's like, no, the no. And even Heather was like agreeing with Mary. She's like, the Mormon church is like rooted in racism.
And like all these things. Like, no, it's not. Is anyone gonna ask me? Is anyone gonna let me talk? And then Heather's like, no, Lisa, it is. Like, we have to acknowledge it. They were just like,
it's because Lisa is a bad Mormon.
She's like a fake.
She
Mormon.
Is like that. She's like it's like kind of like a accessory. I love Lisa.
Her shoulders at her temple.
She doesn't really know.
She doesn't actually like, she's LDS.
She owns a tequila company, you know?
She owns the tequila mine.
But I have to talk about the end of the episode, the end of the reunion, where, you know, Mary is like defending Monica and is like, hey, I think that everyone was a little bit dramatic on the Bermuda trip and we need to hear Monica out and everything like that. And I don't think Monica was this bad. And Lisa turns and goes, what about if she called you a dumb bitch? Would you like her if she called you a dumb bitch? And she's like, I don't know. She's like, oh, you win. And then she turns to Heather. She's like, get the audio. It's so like, that was so funny. I was like, these women like have been plotting and scheming. Like they're doing their own like takedown. And it's almost like, it's again, it's like watching like someone try to catch A on Pretty Little Liars. It's like we're trying but they're just one step ahead every single time. And it's just so entertaining to watch. I'm like, this is so crazy. Get the audio.
I loved it because it kind of reminded me a little bit of the VPR reunion when they were like, oh, you went dressed up as Raquel for Halloween. And then Lisa was like, you did that? That's so sick. Like when they were playing this audio, this is audio that we have all heard on social media. And Andy was like, now what is this that I'm listening to? and then Mary was like, I probably wouldn't care if someone called me a dumb bitch, but she's so offended when someone said that her chairs were goofy. Like,
yeah. Like okay. Dr. Seuss
chairs. You insulted my house.
What's worse? Calling someone inbred or saying that you have Dr. Seuss chairs. She's like, I think talk about my house was worse.
Yeah.
And I was like, you can't reason with this one. Like, there's no sense. And
we're
that's
talking
I'm
about.
Like, when I will see people get blue in the face on the internet defending Mary Down. And I'm like, I'm not saying, what's that TikTok sound where it's like, I'm not a cop. I'm not saying, like, fire Mary. I'm not saying get rid of her. But, like,
we've never said
being Team Mary on anything is so weird.
Yeah. It's kind of like, It's kind of like the people, like, we all want Monica here. We all want Mary here. But the kind of people that are saying, Monica, you're the realest one of them all. I'm like, wait a minute. She was hiding behind a fake Instagram account, bitch. She was not the realest one, like, of anything.
Or like, honestly, it would kind of be like people ignoring like that Monica did all this stuff. They'd be like, the women are taking her down and accusing her of running Reality Von Teese's. And of course she's mad at them. Of course she's mad at them. She's going to yell at them. That's what they're saying about like Mary when they're talking about Mary's church. They're like, the women were trying to take down Mary's church. And I was like, you mean the cult? I'm like, you mean the cult that's like robbing people too, that like scamming people? Like that these women are trying to take down? Allegedly. But still, like, you know what I'm saying? They're like, they were trying to. I was like, this woman, it was. We heard the audios where she was like yelling at her parishioners, being like, you guys are poor. You guys aren't giving me the money. You guys need to like where she's like, I am God. Like all these things like that we had like evidence and like audio for. And they were all mad at the core four for trying to take down Mary. And they're like, of course, Mary would hate them for what they did. And I was like, but are we watching the same thing?
I love how Heather specifically, when she's ready to expose Monica, every time she pulls her phone out to play a recording, she bows her head. She doesn't look up. She can't make eye contact. She holds it up and she just plays it. And then she's like, I don't know, Monica, you tell us. She's like, it's like she's dealing with a serial killer. And the only way that she knows how to deal with them is to like, not, it's like she's like, don't make eye contact, don't let them get in, don't believe anything they say, don't even let a pen in their hand, they could stab you with it. She's like treating Monica like she's fucking Ted
Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, like, Hannibal Lecter.
Like, oh, it's like it's very Silence of the Lambs. Like it's like we're dealing with a psychopath, like we have to be very careful. She like just don't look.
She's like, and she just played the way Lisa Barlow's like, get the recording.
And then you can like, if you put like a camera behind Heather's head and you could just all see Heather's head like looking down, you would see like in front of her Monica just being like, that's not true, bitch. Yeah, fuck you, bitch. And like all these things, you know, it'd just be so funny.
It's like the Bundy tapes. You think she's playing the Bundy tapes?
No, truly. Truly. She's like, she's got Zac Efron sitting across the couch from her, you know? Anyways. Do you guys have anything else to say about Salt Lake before we wrap it up?
No, they ended on a cliffhanger with Reality Von Teese. So we knew they were going to do that. And I'm just ready for next week.
I have a question for you guys really quick, because my sister asked me this. Obviously, like, you guys weren't involved with It's About Bravo when this was happening, but now like running an Instagram account and everything like that. My sister asked, were you familiar with Reality Von Teese? Like, did you know, had you ever heard of Reality Von Teese before? And I said, I can't really think of Reality Von Teese because we run a different kind of page, right? We don't run like, there's the
About Von Bravo.
There's the Bravo pages that are like us, where it's like we post clips, we post throwbacks, we talk about the episodes, we laugh about the episodes. If the women are crazy, we are like, I love you even more. If the women are boring, we're like, get off. And then there's the Bravo pages that are like specifically trying to take down a Bravo lady.
Dark web.
Like they're like dark web. Yeah, like, yeah, like it's like you don't go there. Like that's the darkest of the, like, it's very much like they're going to
tell Simba, we don't go over there.
Like those are the accounts where it's like they could get sued for like character assassination, you know, like all those kinds of things. But I will say, I do think I remember seeing Reality Von Teese because of the Jen Shah behind the scenes clip. Jen Shah yelling at her assistant and everything. Yeah, I don't think I remember the name, but I think that's like what I do remember.
I just have to say that the finale episode when they revealed Reality Von Teese, I immediately got on all socials to find the account and follow it. And on Twitter, I was their 666th follower. I made them 666.
Scary.
That's just honestly like Mo is always like 11. Mo is always like 11, angel number. If he was on the mic right now when I said that, he would have just busted into flames.
He'd be like, ooh, ha-ha.
Archangel Mike, what is it? Archangel Michael, please protect us.
Archangel Michael, please protect us.
No, I didn't remember. I hadn't heard of it. I don't know. I've heard of these burner accounts, these troll accounts. You're right. We don't follow them. We don't pay attention to them. I looked at it. It was very sloppy. It was nothing that I would ever follow. It didn't have that many followers. So I don't really know. It's kind of like well, not kind of like it's way, it was way bigger, but it was, it reminded me of, oh God, what was her name? Angie something else.
Her husband. Oh, Angie H. Angie Harrington.
Her husband started the weird account. Yeah. To take down Jen. Yeah.
What was that called? Jen Shaw. It was called Shaw Exposed.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's literally like Pretty Little Liars. Where it's like, you think you found A and it's actually like that. Oh, A is Mona. A is Mona. We finally found A. And then it's like, actually, there's a bigger A out there. Like A's boss. You know, in the cinematic universe of Salt Lake City, I think his name's Steve, right? Angie Harrington's husband. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe
Girl, I don't even remember her.
Okay. The bear.
Yes. Do you love him? Do you love him? Please.
Don't ask me that question. I plead the fifth. Okay. But he was like the first A. Like he was like the he was like the red herring.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then there was a bigger fish to fry out there. This is so poetic. Salt Lake City is so goddamn poetic.
There is a bigger fish to fry out there, and her name is Tanisha, or as Monica's mother calls her, Ratisha.
I think she's the bigger fish.
I think she's the bigger fish.
I think she's the bigger A. I think she was like running that whole thing.
She got Heather's literal hair in her hands. And
that's the other thing. That's the loophole. That's the loophole of this whole thing. And I hope they maybe address it in part three. Is if I were Monica, I'd be like, I don't care if that bitch had a crisis of conscience. Okay. She still actively participated in like taking you down. It's one thing to have somebody come to you and be like, hey, I was running this account. I'm so sorry. I did all these things, you know? And it's like, for me, if someone did that to me, I'd be like, okay, respect. Thank you for telling me. I can never continue a relationship with you, but like, thank you for telling me the truth. I really do appreciate that. I wouldn't keep them as my hairstylist. I'll tell you Are you kidding? That's
my hair out of your hands.
She probably has the place bugged. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like this girl seems crazy. And then she also like kept like a whole binder of receipts. She was working with Monica, but then kept everything against Monica so that she could release it later. I think she's sketchy too. I don't know. I don't think this is the last we've heard about Reality Von Teese.
Or Tanisha. My Apple iPhone settings, like all of my messages delete every 30 days. That's how I keep my data, like my storage on my phone low. Apparently all you bitches keep your messages for life. And God forbid anything I've ever said comes to light. You better never Zach Von Ziegler me.
I have a whole file. I have a whole called, book on Reed Chandler.
Called the Downfall of Reed. Salt Lake. I can't wait. The epic conclusion next week.
Next week we're going to hear, and I swear to God, Heather will lose me just as fast as she gained me as a fan if she does not explain the black eye. It's not enough to just say that Jen gave it to you. I want to hear what went down.
Step by step.
I want to know step by step what happened in that night. You got to tell me everything. You will lose me quicker than you gained me.
Which hand did she swing you with?
Yeah. Like, well, how did it happen? Walk me through it. Tell me what happened. Tell me what went down. Because if you don't, I swear to fucking God, I will raise hell, Heather Gay. I swear. Anyways, that is our Real Housewives of Salt Lake City recap. Let's get into the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I also want to say something first. People are looking at us. We are like, I mean, it's like they're at the zoo looking at the animals. We're the animals.
And Kyle's celebration of life for her friend. Inappropriate to bring that up. You literally spent 2 hours talking about her to where she and I literally had to leave because it was so annoying.
She said, well, it's because of my small esophagus. So her small esophagus.
Teddy, she says that she has a small esophagus. Have you ever heard of anybody just having a small esophagus?
I'm gonna get something else to drink. Do you want anything?
I sure do. I'll talk with you.
Yeah, a bottle of tequila. Thank you. Bye.
I am trained to be a critical thinker. So when I hear something that doesn't make sense, we try to put. Crystal, did you want to go to med school? If you'd gone to med school, you'd get that.
Did you go to medical school? You know, tell me. You and anesthesiologist when I met you.
Here we go.
And
then like downplaying my profession again.
No, no, no. You're such a bitch.
All right, guys, let's talk about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And let's also talk about Sutton's esophagus. I don't think we've talked about it enough. I think that we can go into more detail about it. I think Anne-Marie is really driving the storyline here. I think she should be center diamond next year. I think she really knows how to lay out a reality television show. I think she is so smart. I think she's a doctor. I don't think she's a liar.
She's a board certified nurse and anesthesiologist something.
And that's how good that Zach Ziegler can lie, because I disagree with everything that I just said. That I do not want to talk about the esophagus anymore. I want Anne-Marie off my show. Get her off my show. Get her off my show.
Oh, damn. I was going to say, this is the hot takes that we bring you at About Bravo.
We bring a lot of hot takes. That is not one of them. I do not know how we can live in a world with like Anne-Marie's and Diana's and those kind of casting decisions and still hate Teddy Mellencamp as much as we do. That does not make sense.
Teddy Mellencamp is awful. You need to, you're not going to.
No, she's not as, Reed, I will get blue in the face about this. She is not as awful as Anne-Marie.
I'm with you. Her biggest crime was being fucking boring.
And pregnant.
And unpaid, I would say. A little bit. But anyway,
I understand saying that Teddy Mellencamp was boring. What I do not understand is the hatred of Teddy Mellencamp. Like, it makes no sense to me.
I can't do this. I can't do this tonight. I will say,
why do you hate her?
One of my favorite oomphs, Blake is Sweaty, tweeted every year that the Beverly Hills cast continues to refuse to cast Brandy Glanville is another year with a one season Kia that nobody is ever going to remember. And I think that is so true, because it's been Anne-Marie. It was Diana. Was there someone before Diana? I don't think.
Well,
so.
It was going to be Crystal, but she stayed a little bit longer. I think that's probably what you're thinking of.
It's actually kind of crazy to me that Crystal has made it three seasons when it she is has crazy. No storyline at all this season.
Well, here's my thing with Crystal. And this is what I want to talk about. And I think Annie will probably talk about it. Is we could see that Crystal can bring it.
Yeah,
he has it in her.
Crystal can bring it.
I mean, I'm surprised that we gave her like this long to. I think that her first season she brought some potential stuff. Her second season it was like, oh, maybe you should go. And then at the beginning of this whole season we were all like, okay, baby girl, it's not happening. Goodbye. But now she's getting activated again. I loved it. I loved watching it. It made me feel happy. I'm surprised that we have given her this long to get there, but we did. And maybe they saw something in her and they were right. Because right now, as of this point right now, I'm enjoying her. I do have to say, some people have made the comparison that Kyle is trying to be like LVP this season by befriending a minion to do her dirty work. Which is, we all know that Kyle hates Sutton, no matter what Sutton wants to believe. Kyle has always hated Sutton for a while. She doesn't like her. I have argued that most of the girls don't really like Sutton, but people have said that maybe Kyle is having Anne-Marie do this for her. If she's trying to be like LVP, she has missed the mark. Because this esophagus.
Esophagus.
esophageal. Feeling whatever is failing miserably. I mean, if that's her shot at being fucking LVP, she's failed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that Kyle. I think that Kyle just wanted to bring somebody onto the show. I don't think that it was for a takedown of Sutton per se. I think that this is all really like Anne-Marie. To be honest, I think that it's Anne-Marie trying to.
What a horrible accusation.
I honestly, her name should be Annoying Marie Triley.
I think that she knows how like the structure of reality television works, and that you have to like kind of like bring like a feud. And I just don't think that, you know, I feel like there's more to go off of if you're situationally aware in the season. I think you could pick up on something else. And also, are there any producers? Hello, production. Are there any producers like talking to Anne Marie and being like, maybe we should drop this one?
Boring.
Maybe, why don't we pick up on her drinking? Talk about the vodka.
Well, she
her
did
purse.
Bring that up as well.
Let the esophagus
she's still talking about the esophagus. Like, to Reed's point, let the esophagus go. You had your fun. Let it go.
You had your fun. Let it go. To your point, Zach, she was absolutely trying to have a moment in that scene because she was getting activated, saying, I am a board certified. And then Kyle Richards walks up and goes, hey, guys, and interrupts her. And you see it in her face. She's like, fuck, I'm losing my moment. And she turns around. She's like, doesn't even say hi to Kyle, turns back around to Sutton to readdress her and raises it another octave just to make sure she lets Kyle know in that moment. Cause you see Kyle's face go, oh, shoot. Like Anne-Marie was like, wait, not now, bitch. This is my moment. And she tries to have that moment so bad. But as Miss Sutton said, you picked the wrong one.
Sutton is a top tier housewife.
Is literally the sheriff of Beverly Hills. It's like that old Western, and she's like, you picked the wrong one.
Sutton had a moment in this episode in the confessional chair that I gasped.
What was it?
It was when she was talking about Mauricio. She threw a lot of shade at Mauricio in this episode. Is when she was like, You show up for your wife and your wife's dead friend's family. I was like,
so I did not know which one you were gonna say because she had a couple moments.
She had a couple of them.
Yeah, that was most good.
She's the confessional queen this season. She kind of laughs
dead. She made sure she got that in there.
I was thinking it too, because like he showed up to like the big party, the gala with all the open bar and all of his friends being there. I thought it too before she ever said that. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think it's honestly like, I think Kyle's eyes are getting open with it. And
yeah,
it sucks. And
it's like at that, we all know what's going to happen. We know the ending, like all of that. Like we've the writing's on the wall. We all know what's going to happen. She had Morgan's shoes in her room when she was packing. We all know the Easter eggs have been hatched, bitch. Like I understand what's happening here. Now I have to tell you guys something. I heard an interview with Crystal a while back, I think before the season even aired on a podcast. And she was talking mad shit about Anne Marie Wiley. And she was saying that in the next episode, when Anne Marie Wiley says, you're welcome for making you relevant, that like everyone just immediate eye roll. Crystal was like, these are buzzwords that people hear when they come onto the Housewives that they know that they should say. Like, we all know what she meant. She was trying to imply that I've been not so activated in the past. Like, it's like, she was just talking mad shit about like, and I was like, wow. That's just exactly what's going on here. Like,
also, like the delivery, we've only seen the preview of it, makes no sense. I don't know if I'm hearing it wrong, but I've listened to it like 8 times because they've showed it like in the trailer, they showed it in the preview. Is Anne Marie saying, okay, am I hearing it wrong? Because it sounds like she's speaking in like first person. She's like, and I should thank you for saying something to make you relevant or something. I was like, thank you. I was like, shouldn't it be like, you should be thanking me?
She's saying, Crystal, you should thank me. And Crystal goes, for what? And she goes, for making you relevant again.
But did she say, and you should say thank you?
Because it sounds like you should say thank you to me.
I'm going to have to listen to it again because I hear her say, and I should thank you. And I'm like, why are you saying it like that?
I always took it as she was saying that Crystal.
Well, yeah, that's like, no, that's what it definitely means. Yeah. But like, I have to like roll the footage back and listen because it sounds like it's horrible. It's horrible. And that's like the thing. Like,
yeah,
it's just.
Now, I did love all the women practicing saying homeless, not toothless before they went
How is this still the name?
Okay, I have a theory. No, I have a theory on if you get confused by the name and if you don't get confused by the name. It all has to stem from where your values are. And I think the reason why these women, like, where your priorities are, not necessarily your values.
Rather be toothless and have a home.
Like, yeah, no, like, yeah, you would think you would, like,
They are too.
But like, honestly, it is. People have nightmares about their teeth falling out.
I was gonna say,
I'm not the only one.
When you have veneers, they file down your real teeth to nubs, and then they put the veneers over it. These ladies don't have teeth, guys. They are toothless.
Like, no, I mean, like, in the sense, in like,
in the sense that,
in the sense that, I think they get confused because both are like, it's kind of like one of those, like, I remember when I was a kid, there was we would play like Would You Rather, you know. And there was one would you rather that someone asked me, and they were like, would you rather every time you went up to somebody that you had a crush on, you just had like explosive diarrhea every time you had every time you talked to them, like immediately, like you couldn't run in the bathroom, whatever. Or would you rather have all of your teeth pulled out by gorillas? And people were like, it's like kind of like a death, like, yeah, you know. And so I feel like with homeless not toothless, it's like both are horrible. I don't want to be homeless and I don't want to be toothless.
But I feel like I should give them a home.
Yes, like, obviously. But like, that's why the name gets confusing, because you're thinking like, which one do they not want to be? Yeah. Do they want their teeth or do they want to have a home? And so it like gets confusing on where your priorities are. Like,
it's capitalism. It's capitalism, and it's a 1%.
It reminds me of those TikToks. It's like the Brigham Young, like the Mormons interviewing people on campus, and they're like, would you rather drink a sip of alcohol or murder your grandma?
Yes.
And they're like, and then one girl's like, murder my grandma. And it's like, they're dead ass.
It's 100% that. I have to say, this homeless, okay, wait, Annie, say.
Sorry, I was just gonna say, like, that, like, I was thinking to myself, these rich people are like, you know what? Lead a man to, what is it? Lead them to a fish or teach them how to fish. Give them teeth and they can get a job and then they can afford a home. Don't give them a home.
No, I just like this homeless, not toothless event.
Was like
a gay pride parade. First, them go like, they're like, all right, fashion designer, Dorit Kemsley, you know, and it's like, oh, like in my eyes, like Dorit Kemsley is like the chairman of like, she's like the, what do they call them? What were they fighting about in Roni season 4 that Sonia was for the gay pride parade?
Committee chair or whatever.
Like, what is Grand Marshal?
Yeah, the Grand Marshal.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. In my eyes, Dorit is the Grand Marshal. Then they're like, and we have special appearances by Paula Abdul. Straight up now, tell me, do you really want to love me forever? In my eyes, like, Dorit Kemsley is like the chairman of like, she's like the, what do they call them? What were they fighting about in Roni season 4 that Sonia was for the gay pride parade?
Committee chair or whatever.
Like, what is the Marshal, Grand Marshal?
Yeah, the Grand Marshal.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. In my eyes, Dorit is the Grand Marshal. Then they're like, and we have special appearances by Paula Abdul. When Paula Abdul came on the screen, I nearly fell out of my chair. I was like, oh my God, Paula Abdul. And then I thought to myself, and I know that she's been asked, because she's brought this up in interviews, that she's been asked to become a part of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I'm saying, fire Anne Marie. And give Paula whatever money she asks for to be on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because she would be the best. She would be one of the best housewives. That woman is kooky. That woman is emotional. That woman is crazy. That woman is iconic.
I met her.
You met Paula?
Yeah.
You know Paula?
When you didn't get your golden ticket on American Idol?
Bitch, I got my golden ticket. Okay.
Just kidding.
She wasn't judging that year. No, I met her. I helped her at a store that I was working at.
Oh, get out of here.
He could not reach a top, but I had to get a down for her.
Aww.
I love that. I literally was like, Paula Abdul, like, love it. And then they're like, and special performances by Taylor Dane. Tell it to my home. And I was like, Taylor Dane, this is like, this
Taylor Dade performed at Cleveland Pride. I mean, come on now. Like, Taylor Dade is like she's like the other Betty Who of Pride, in my opinion. You know, like how like Betty Who is like at every freaking Pride, and it's like, where else are you going to see Betty Who? You're going to see her at Pride or on Broadway, and that's about it. And Taylor Dane is, tell it to my heart. That was, Anne-Marie had one last chance. She had one last chance. And when she said, I don't know, Taylor Dane, I was like, get out. Get off of my show. Get off of my show. Tell it to my heart. Tell me I'm the only one. Like, Taylor Dane. Taylor Dane, this was a Pride event. This was a Pride event. And I loved all four women standing at the little cocktail table, ready for Anne-Marie to make a fool out of herself. And they were just like, mm-hmm. And Sutton's like, who's scared of Anne-Marie? Who's scared of her?
Now, I do have to say, I'm getting really sick of the people being like, that was not the appropriate time to bring that up. Because it's like, this is Housewives. There's never an appropriate
time. There's never an appropriate time.
But you always do it because that's what the show was about. And they brought it up twice in this episode. Sutton said that it was not an appropriate time to bring up her esophagus at Kyle's friend's memorial. And then also then Kyle said, oh, we've been wanting Crystal to get loud and speak up for herself. But I don't know if screaming you're such a bitch at a charity gala is like exactly what we were talking about. It's like, shut the fuck up, bitch. When else are we going to do it? The galas, the gowns.
Garcelle was like, they're all looking at us like we're zoo animals. And I'm like, yeah, bitch, you're the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Of course they're all looking at you. And if you're doing your job correctly, you should be putting on a show at the gala. Like, the Roni women knew how to do that.
I commend Crystal, actually. I want, okay, we do a lot of Crystal slander on this podcast, to be honest. And listen, if you listen to this podcast, the biggest crime you could do to me is be boring. You could defraud the elderly. If you're boring, I think you're worse. I don't know. That's just like my opinion. Crystal, I don't know how she didn't fly across the goddamn table when Anne-Marie said, you said she had an eating disorder. I literally would have been like, you are delusional. You are the most delusional person I've ever met in my fucking life. I would have, like, Crystal, I don't know how she did not throw hands.
I can't believe it. I said, no. I said, you know what I said? I said, no, ma'am. No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Erica, by the way, who wasn't really on Anne-Marie's side, but definitely wasn't on Sutton's side either. It cuts to Erica's confessional. You say no, ma'am, one too many times where I'm from, and that could get you smacked. Like, she just still has, she's always, like, she has not forgiven Sutton. Like, she's still taking pot shots at Sutton, but then immediately after that confessional, she says to Anne-Marie, she like accused her. She's like, oh, when did she say that? She's still not on Anne-Marie's side is my point. So, yeah.
So, Rita, took that differently. I thought that Erica was saying, if you hear a Southern woman say no ma'am like that, you're going to get slapped next.
That's what I thought she said. That's what I perceived.
Oh, I took it as her.
I thought that she was going to be, yeah, I thought she was like, Sutton's going to whack the shit out of Anne-Marie.
I thought she was being like, because she always likes to be like, I'm from the South too, even though she doesn't give that energy at all. And I thought she was being more like, where in my part of the South, maybe I don't know where Sutton's from, but in my part of the South, that too much of that will get you smacked. I thought she was definitely.
Yeah, I think she was saying like Sutton's going to smack you because she's saying no ma'am like that means that she's.
We'll do a poll. I think I'm right.
Oh, okay. Oh, I don't.
Okay,
let's definitely do a poll. But I think that this is actually so a testament to how much the women fucking hate Anne-Marie Wiley because of how much they are on Sutton's side in this situation. Like, let's be honest. Has she ever gotten this much backing? Never, ever, ever. They fucking hate this bitch.
Yeah, and like, Garcelle was clocking in. Garcelle was like, you said, like, you lied. You said if she... You know, she brought up the receipts and then production played the little clip after it. You know, Crystal brought up the receipts. They're all like, this is what you said. And she's like, no, she kept having to backtrack. And it's like, it's one thing to be a liar and be like funny and make it like a comedic moment like Monica, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and it's another thing to just be a liar and just be wrong. Just be so wrong. And Anne-Marie is that. And it's just like. It's just landing flat, Marie.
I will say, even though Crystal has been kind of boring for me this season, and I did like how she got activated this episode, I really cherish the three musketeers that are Garcelle, Sutton, and Crystal. I feel like they've always been like, even like right after Sutton and Crystal got over their initial ugly leather pants beef, I feel like those three, they've always been kind of the ones on the outside of the Fox Force 5 or whatever it was called. So I think they look out for each other. You know, all three of them, Crystal and Garcelle have Sutton's back. The other women might not, but they do.
But they will never be the trio that is Erica Jane, Eileen Davidson, and Lisa Rinna. And I'm sorry.
They'll never be the Tracy.
Don't be sorry. Don't apologize. Don't apologize.
I think that's one of the most underrated trios in like Housewives history. Like, I love that trio.
I love it.
Do you guys get this? Is how deep I am in like Housewives like stuff on like Twitter. It's like, do you guys ever get like fan cams of like
Eileen?
it's like Eileen
oh, yeah.
And Erica as if they were like lesbians.
No.
Like lost lesbian lovers. That's how like deep I am in like the like Housewives are like, oh, I saw that the other day and I was like, why is this making me emotional? It's like when Erica gets offered the part of the Bold and Beautiful and like they hug and like I'm just like, oh, God. But anyways, that is our recap of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Let's go into the Real Housewives of Miami.
Soon. Yeah. I'm very sorry, guys. I'm not going to stay because we're going to go to the Stanley Cup. We had tickets before I knew about Kiki's fashion show. But before I leave, I just want to set the record clear. I did not know. Perhaps I could have intervened more, but I didn't do anything to hurt you guys.
We've been, like, hard on you.
Yeah.
Adriana was the one that plotted this whole thing.
Okay. There you go.
Now I'm good with you. I'm still, you know. You know what I mean? No. Let I'm just saying. Let no, I'm letting it go. Of course, I believe you. You have to also acknowledge the way that I feel.
I get it. And I understand.
Yeah. I'm happy that this is all finally getting put to rest. But inside, I am annoyed that I have to constantly prove my case. Like, this is the end, right?
Deep down, Alexia is very, very competitive, and she wants to be queen bee. Nicole is a doctor and a great dresser, impeccable taste, with beautiful homes that aren't rented, by the way. Nicole is the real Barbie, not Alexia. And that bothers Alexia to the bone.
All right, guys, let's talk about the Real Housewives of Miami. Let's talk about the most shocking thing about this entire episode was the shot of Lisa Hochstein pumping her own gas. That was my favorite part.
I also think, you know, we got a little insight into Kiki's past, which is very rare. But we also, it explained her love for Burger King.
Yeah.
I love Kiki. I really love Kiki.
They never really give you like, there's not a lot of Kiki lore though. So I feel like that was kind of interesting that we got some Kiki lore this episode.
We got a whole Kiki solo scene.
Yeah, they're soft launching her as full time. I really also enjoyed the opening scene with Julia doing the runway stuff. She looks gorgeous, by the way. Like, killing it. I know that she's a little bit self-conscious in that scene, but like, she still got it, baby.
I love Julia. Everyone knows that I stan Julia. I've been a Julia stan since the beginning. That's my farm queen.
It's been weird.
She's camp to me. I'm sorry. I love her.
Jack's always fucking obsessed with Julia. And honestly, yeah. I'm starting to see it.
Well,
I hate that Zach's always right.
Reed, I always knew.
I always knew. What else happened this episode, guys? Honestly, it was kind of a snooze.
It was a snooze episode, but they finally were able to talk about like Mother's Day. And we finally got like the Nicole, Alexia, Marisol like scene where they were like able to like really hash it out. And I thought it's funny when they finally were like, they're like, no, you don't understand. It was like literally a contrived plot by Adriana. Like, it wasn't just Adriana trying to ruffle some feathers. Like, Adriana had a whole motive. Adriana had like things that she wanted Anna to bring up. She wanted Anna Kinkosis to bring up the financial issues. And that was like the whole scheme, the Todd game. And so like, and then finally Alexia's like, oh shit, now I realize that like, you know,
This was all Adriana.
Yeah, they were so weirdly hesitant to blame Adriana, even when they knew that she was always the one bringing her SR plus one. It was weird. But I guess they explained it in a way in the last episode, maybe, which made sense. I guess it's not fair, but they were like kind of like the way that some people were like less mad at Sandoval than they were at Raquel, where they were like, well, we expect this from trashy men, you know, but they were like, we expect this from Adriana, but we didn't expect this from you, Nicole. You know, like that's why they were so hesitant to like, just like give up the go. Oh, give up the go. Oh.
Give up the go.
They just hate, they hate Nicole. They hate Dr. Nicole. I think I know what it is. You know that, Annie, I know you're not on Twitter. Zach, I know you are. You know the meme? It really be two dumb bitches saying to each other, exactly.
I know that meme.
That is,
see,
yes,
I was gonna.
That
I was
is Alexia
say.
And Marisol. That is Alexia and Marisol. And Nicole is a doctor. She's too smart for them. They don't like it.
Yeah.
I think that it's because Nicole has homes. She doesn't rent them. And she is the real Barbie. And that bothers Alexia to the bone.
Yeah. Jealous.
I'm sorry. I love quoting Adriana. Adriana's like confessionals are like so funny. Also, Adriana's outfit to the recording session was giving like my scene. Like, did you guys ever like, were you so gay, Reed, or like Annie?
I was gay.
I used to be.
Okay. Did you ever play like those computer games? Like on like the website where it's like there was like the one. Listeners, if you know what I'm talking about, please
get
like
scared about what you're about to say.
No, there's no
dress people
to be
when you dress them.
Yeah, you like dress them. It's like my scene. Like, remember like the My Scene Barbies were like,
oh,
you
yeah.
like dress them, you put their like their makeup on and everything like that.
Yes.
And the outfits were like so crazy. Like Adriana looked like a Polly Pocket walking in. She looked like she literally looked like a My Scene.
A cartoon version of Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake denim outfit on the red carpet. Like a cartoon.
Yeah, like it was like something out of like, yeah, a straight to VHS video that was like a Barbie movie. Like it was so camp. Like I want that outfit. It was just hilarious to me. And then her singing a song that's like literally like a reject Camila Cabello song is iconic. I think it's gonna sound so good. Actually, Adriana's music is like not bad. Like it's actually like really fun dance music.
Even Alexia can't deny. She goes, "You listen, I hate her, but it's a bop."
A bop is a bop. Like Faya, like
yes.
My homies.
Alexia loves that song. She plays
casa,
it, like,
su casa.
All the time. Yeah.
Miami's the place.
Remember when they tried like, to shoot the music so video fun. For that, and like Marisol kept Mess. Drinking, and the photographer was getting really upset.
That was Mess. My favorite part. The guy that was directing it was so funny. He was like, "Is she serious? She's taking a snack break. Are they serious?"
Miami started filming their reunion, by the way. I don't think we really touched on that, in my opinion. But one of It's About Bravo did. Alumni. Is there and all over Bravo Andy's story today, Modesto and his boyfriend Colson. So that's exciting.
Yes. And we're going to hopefully have Mo on very soon to talk about his little like styling journey because it's growing.
It Absolutely. Growing. I always knew.
I always knew.
Peaks of the outfits before when they were in conception.
It's fair. Yeah. Annie got a little bit of a sneak peek because she works with Mo. And yeah, it's going down at the Miami reunion. It's going to be a good one.
I'm so excited.
I have to say one thing. Alexia only agreed to go film at Julia's farm because she found those cute overalls and she wanted to go film at a farm.
Yeah, I agree.
She did not want to be there, bitch.
Hey, those overalls are cute. I was thinking the entire time, like, I would have been like, Alexia, like, do not bring that goat near me. I don't want to touch it.
I am so that bitch where I'm like, oh my gosh, wait, I just found this really cute ski outfit. We're planning a ski trip.
I'm so that bitch. You should have seen my friend had like a little like, so she's from like the countryside in like Ohio. And so she had like this whole like event planned out. It was very Housewives. It was like, you know, her last name is Demchek. She's like, Camp Demchek, everyone come, wear your best like camping attire. It's like farmy. We're going to play games and like everything like that. I showed up like Kyle Richards.
Oh no.
And Aspen Kemosabe. Like I had like a cowboy hat, like any excuse to like look the part.
Yeah.
I looked like glam camp,
yes.
Camp Wild West. Like, I'm the same way. I will pick out an outfit and I will have a fun with a theme. I love a theme. But was I like doing all that camping shit? No, I was not. I was just taking
No. And there's a big difference. Well, yeah, because you plan a party around the outfit you already have too. She probably already had the outfit. She was like, this is the theme. There's a big difference between being on theme or being in costume. You know, I hate a costume.
Yeah.
Annie, I remember you said that exact same thing when we were recapping Roni and what's her name? Jen. I'm like, there's so many Jens in the Bravo world. What's Jen's name on Roni? Jen what?
Jen Alliance.
She has,
you're like Jen, who's whoever I'm Jen like, is.
There's so many Jens. Like Alliance. Well, I couldn't remember. I literally, she's so forgettable. But Jen Alliance had all the ladies over, and I remember like she had all these different things on. And Annie, you said on the podcast, you were like, the reason that it was like khaki and gold and all the and animal print was because she had all of those things and she wanted to wear it somewhere.
Yes. I have gone to a party my best friend hosted, and she said it's Hawaiian theme. And I said, bitch, I don't have any of that. I'm not wearing it. I wore like my regular black outfit. And I got there and she was wearing this like two-piece Hawaiian floral set. And I said, okay, I know why you said the theme. We all know.
You were the Lisa Barlow in that situation. You were like,
I was, and I actually called Lisa Barlow out for it too. But I didn't have enough time to get a new outfit, but I called Lisa Barlow out for the same thing. I said,
gold hoop earrings. At least
be on theme without being in costume and painting a pirate beard on your face with black eyeliner, you know?
Yeah, like there's Monica, where Monica was in a full like Jack Sparrow ass outfit, and then you had like Meredith, where it's like I'm pirate inspired, like I'm definitely in Bermuda. Okay, I'm definitely at the Bermuda Triangle, but I don't look like I just walked out of a goddamn Party City,
or like like Johnny Depp.
You know, so I just think it's like so funny. Oh my gosh. Well, the Miami ladies are going to Mexico City next week, as well as the Beverly Hills cast is going to Barcelona. We got two cast trips next week.
Oh, wow.
We're both going to be the Mexico City one looks like it's going to be very fun.
I truly hope so.
One thing I just wanted to say was the moment when Larsa said, I think me and Marcus are top, like our like max is taking 5 days apart. And I was thinking to myself, ooh, Larsa, you don't know what's going to happen later in the Traders.
It's going to be a lot longer than 5 days.
Spoiler alert. Anyways, that is our latest episode of It's About Bravo. Thank you guys so much for listening. You guys know where to find us at About_Bravo on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. Speaking of our Instagram and our Patreon that Reed had mentioned earlier on in the episode, we are going to be doing some special episodes. We are going to start doing like a once a month thing where you guys tell us a topic that you want to listen to on the Patreon. We're going to like pick out randomly by like a draw whose topic to deep dive into on a Patreon episode. And then we're going to give you a shout out on the podcast. So we're going to put a little prompt in our story. So make sure that you tell us what you want to see. If you want to see a feud, if you want to deep dive on a housewife, it could be on anything, literally anything. The door is open. It could be on Drag Race. It could be on Big Brother. It could be on whatever you guys want to talk about, reality TV related, and we'll do it. So please make sure to look out for that in our stories and get a shout out on the podcast. Again, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys later. Bye.
See ya.